We are on the final leg, another few weeks, and we pick up. We have one more lesson where we look on what some commentators say about the subject of head covering. Don't miss out on these lessons. Could we have the passage again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 14?
You should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
May I? The things which happen to me. What are these things? Not long from now, we will be turning to the book of Corinthians to find out what these things are. But as we look on the lesson today, I begin by saying that one of the most important and constant lessons of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, the truth that things which come your way are my way. The things which happens to us, the experiences which we have, good things, bad things, negative things, positive things, they do not always produce what their immediate appearance indicates. It is in the book of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for them that love God. Be mindful that the all things here Paul was not saying that when these things are working out, they're going to look good to us. That's what the passage is saying. What he's saying is that the Almighty God has the ultimate outcome. That whatever happens to the Christian, the Almighty God can transform them in good for us. Many things in a person's life and experience many times appear. As I've said, appear to be blessings in many situations. But the many things which appear to be blessings in so many cases turn out to be curse. The reverse is true. Many things in our lives that turn out to be curse, in going through them, We wonder why God has brought us or brought our hell on us right here. And ultimately we see that they work out to our ultimate good. Are we all there? As we travel our pilgrimage to eternity, and all of us are on pilgrimage. As we travel our pilgrimage to eternity, what is truth from God's word and true to life is this: whatever experience, whatever the episode, the things that come your way are my way. Whatever you pass through, whatever you get, whatever you lose, whatever happens to you, negative or positive in appearance, that's what they appear when you are going through them, can curse or your blessing depending on how you respond to them and depending on where they lead. Bad health for a period can turn out to our greatest, to be our greatest blessing. Business failure can turn out to be our greatest blessing. Good health can turn out to be a curse. Not because God meant that good health to be a curse, but because of the way we use our good health. Business failure can turn out to be a blessing if that business failure guide you closer to Jesus Christ. If that business failure help you to look to and depend more on God, then that business failure is your greatest blessing. Business success can be your worst curse if that business success lead you away from Christ and away from faithful and committed. In a nutshell, the things that tend to come in our lives that lead us away from Jesus Christ, from being faithful, from being committed, however beautiful and nice and positive they look, they are cursed. And the things that guide our minds, our thoughts, our commitment to Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church, if they do that, however negative they may look, they are blessings. Brothers and sisters, Exodus 11, verse 2 and 3. Let us hear it. Exodus 11.
Now speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, drills of silver and drills of gold.
Wait. You get it? The children of Israel were about to begin their exodus, their migration. They were about to leave Egypt, being led by the Almighty God through Moses. The Almighty God instructed them that as Israelites they should go to their Egyptian friend and borrow.
Borrow his navel. And every woman her neighbor's
jewels
of silver, jewels of gold.
Jewels of gold. Watch here now. The word borrow here really means to solicit. It means to ask out. That means it can mean they. You know, go and ask your Egyptian for some gold. You see, I dropped that lest you think, well, isn't God teaching them to be a Jamaican to work brain? No. Read on, brother. What verse 2 and 3.
And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians.
That is, the Egyptians were kindly disposed to giving the Israelites some of their jewelry. Now, brothers and sisters, this seems a blessing. You know, Egyptian, Israelite leaving Egypt, migrating, and they could leave with all this gold and precious metal. This seems like blessing in appearance. But let us now turn to the same book of Exodus, chapter 32, 1, 2, 3.
And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings.
What's here now? The Israelites reach a point. They had crossed the Red Sea. They were now traveling. They were in the wilderness. And there was a point when Moses was called upon to come up into the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the Ten Commandments. Now they assumed that Moses would go up and come back in a few days, but he was there 40 days and 40 nights. And the people get worried that they were without a leader. And you thought that Aaron would have stepped in and keep the people stable until his brother comes back. What they did, they put a lot of pressure on Aaron. They wanted their own God, Isaac. Now, again, I repeat, because, you know, application to us, it is unfortunate that sometimes those of us in the church for umpteen years, a situation arises where God wants us to fill the gap, to keep things stable and right. And a lot of times we become the agent of instability. The people put pressure on Aaron. Let us hear it, brother.
And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and of your daughters.
That's the same jewelry that was a blessing when they got it from the Egyptians. Aaron could not take the stress and the pressure. You know, the Bible says, be not many of you masters, leaders. It's wonderful. The brother in his prayer or comment, either Brother Bean or Brother Marks, touch on the job that leaders in every quarter do distress, and some of us don't have the metal for that. So we shrink and we lead things contrary to the good for which it was meant.
Yeah, true. You
see, Aaron could not take the pressure. The people want an idol. Aaron going to give them an idol, contrary to all the experience that they had previously had from the Red Sea up to this point. The Almighty God had shown the Israelites that He would be dear for it. That He is a God that was unique to all other gods. And no sooner than Moses delayed his coming back, they were ready to replace God with one that they made. Brothers and sisters, a lot of time we try to replace God.
Yeah, true, true.
We can replace God with our success. It is at that time our success becomes a curse in whatever area. Continue with Aaron and the jewelry, brother.
And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf and said,
he made, this is, you know, the God of the Egyptians. The very thing that they saw in Egypt, the idols of Egypt, a calf. You see, Aaron gave them an idol. Of all persons, Aaron, an idol. What did he use? That which originally was meant by God to be a blessing to them. The gold that they borrowed are God from the Egyptian. We must be careful that God's blessing in our lives is not transformed into curse. Different things, different people, different experiences may come in your life or happen to you differently. It is what they ultimately do to you or me. It is what they make out of us. It is what they bring out of us that determines whether they be cursed or whether they be blessed. May I? It is what we have just mentioned prior, and in request, the many members who are not well. The church will always have people who are not well. As individuals, how do you deal with your sickness? Does that sickness make you depend more and look more to God? Then that sickness would have served a very good purpose. That sickness would be a blessing. Does that sickness make you seek for the other man or other woman? That sickness in that case become a curse. Are we? It is what the experience does to us, where it leads, where it directs, And anything which directs us away from God, little by little, it is a curse. Any experience that leads us closer to God, make us love Him more, depend on Him more, make us become more faithful to Him, make us look to Him more, it is a blessing. Are we there? It is never how these experiences or episode or incident, it is never how they appear at first. You see, we are as people, we are carried away by first impression, our immediate impression. We are. The thing look a certain way, and that's the way it is. But appearance can be deceptive. So it's never how the thing appear at first. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, 9 through 13. Let us hear it. Hebrews chapter 12, 9 through 13.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh.
We have had fathers of our flesh.
Which corrected us. And we gave them reverence.
Wait. The correction and the consideration here is not the gentle patting on the shoulder. Son, don't do that. And a lot of times that plays its part. That's not the type of correction that is under consideration here. The correction that is under consideration here is chastisement. When in growing up we call it beating, when you get a beating. That's right. In fact, read on a little further, brother.
And we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, after their own pleasure.
They chastise us.
But he...
Wait. And when it says after their own pleasure, it means the Father going to respond to our misbehavior depending on how they see things. How that behavior matches the behavior that the father or mother expected of the child. Brothers and sisters, when we as children were getting those chastisements, it never looked good. That's right. In fact, for many of us, when we were going through it, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, we want to hate. In fact, that's the way we felt then. That we hate our mother and father for those chastisements. I have a father who didn't chastise much. But I had a mother that was the opposite. I mean, in many cases, at a particular age, we depend on our legs. And our mother didn't catch us when we run away from her. So anything she had in her hand, she would throw it at us. I told you of my brother that did something wrong and came home and was surprised that, of course, he was a big young teenager then. Thought that our mother, he was wondering how come our mother don't blaze the room from half the house. Because he knew what he did was wrong. And when he was sleeping, his mother tied his hands and feet to the bed. What surprised Trevor is that he didn't know that our mother knew that he slept sound. and tied him and gave him a chastisement then. Why our mother had to do that? Because if he didn't tie him, even in that middle night, Trevor would get up and run out. So those chastisements, we never see them as good. But do you know what? They instill discipline in us. That's right. That's right. And brothers and sisters, when I hear the psychologists and the educators and whatever talking today, yes, this business of children being beaten at school, I'm against that. Because a lot of times, teachers can take out their frustration on children. While parents sometimes do that, but a lot of times that happens. So the government effort to get that type of thing completely away from our educational system, I'm for that. But the point is, chastisement helps to instill discipline in us. But remember, never have we any thought in going through them that they are doing us good. We always dislike them, hate them. But so many times, they work out to make us more disciplined people. And lack of the discipline we see in the home today, in the society, it is as a result of lack of proper parental discipline. Because remember too, I want to just pass it up. Many parents are cruel to their children. And that only turns the children into aggressors. When you as parents, you are aggressive to your young children, they grow up becoming aggressors. But normal chastisement to let them know they're out of the way, they look back on it and give God thanks that they had parents to do that. That's what Paul is talking about here, brother. Yes.
For verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
That's the point. The chastisement that our parents gave was for our own good. It is the end or net result that counts, not the immediate appearance of that chastisement. And what the Bible is saying is that God also chastises us. And what it is saying, a lot of times when God is chastising us, it doesn't look good to us.
Yeah, sir.
We believe that it is some curse from God. But the Almighty God is looking on the end or the net result. What is the final outcome?
Now,
read, brother.
Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous.
You know, forget that. That was there, brother. No chastisement. No chastisement while you are going through it. Look good. But again, read.
Seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
You get again? The net result. The end result. Huh? Are we all there? That bad child that have brought you so much heartache, so much grief, so much pain, so much tears. If that bad child put you more frequently on your knees in prayer to God. If that bad child helps you to look to God and depend on God more, that bad child becomes a blessing. That's a fact. And somebody said, why it takes that, Brother Mitchell? Well, a lot of times, why it takes that is not dependent on God. Sometimes it depends on you. In other words, it's not that God made the child bad, but that God allowed the child's badness to reach home to you to let you know that you must depend on God. Are we all there? Philippians 1, that was read. Watch here. Verse 12 through 14. Look here.
Mm-hmm. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me...
The things which happened unto me... Somebody turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. Don't move, Brother Webb, because I still want that passage. The things which happened to me, read.
Have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Note words like turn out rather. You see, what Paul is looking at is the end result. When Paul was going through them, they looked like his judgment came. Paul probably felt he was going through hell, bare head, when these things happened. Paul said, they turn out rather
for the furtherance of the gospel.
Now let us look on the things. They are not nice things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 to around verse 28 or 30. Let us see some of these things.
Are they ministers of Christ?
Not only that. Hold it, Brother Way. The book of Acts has, I think, 28 chapters. The latter 12th chapter of Acts. Also listed some of Paul's bad experiences. But we don't have time to look into Acts. So let us take it in Corinthians. Paul said the things which happened to me. What things are those? Read.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more.
Wait. Paul back was pushed against the wall to do some comparison here. He had people that were criticizing him every turn he turned. Paul decided, let me set the record straight. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more a minister of Christ in that I work harder for Christ than all of them. Read, brother.
In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure.
Wait. In stripes? Is stripe, he said?
Yes, above measure.
Brother, wait. That doesn't mean he was a corporal and he now get a sergeant. No, he's now three stripes.
Awesome. No,
you understand? It means beaten.
That's right.
Beaten. He said, in effect, have they suffered for Christ? He said, I suffer more. Read on.
Above measure.
Above measure.
In prisons.
In prison.
More frequent.
Now, he was not a prison officer. That's right. Somebody may say, well, was he a prison officer? No. He was a prisoner. Read.
In deaths, oft.
In what?
Deaths.
Somebody might be asking, Brother West, how could this man die many times? Because he said, in death often. you know? How could he have died many times and still be writing or speaking? It means that because of Christ, Paul went close to death many times.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In death often. Read.
Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes.
You get that?
Save
5
one.
Times he received 40 stripes. Read on.
Save 1.
Save 1.
Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once.
3 times he was beaten with rods.
Once.
You remember what got us here when he said that the things which happened to him turn out to be in the interest of the gospel. These things, while Paul was going through them, they looked like curse. They were not enjoyable or did Paul welcome them. Read on.
Once was I stoned.
Mm-hmm.
Thrice I suffered shipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
A night and a day I have been in the deep.
Mm-hmm.
In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen.
Mm-hmm.
In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city.
Mm-hmm.
In perils in the wilderness.
Everybody listening? You know, this is why, brothers and sisters, we are to, every time I say this, when worship time comes, these Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, we should line up for the building to open. We can come and worship God unmolested. Our lives are not in danger from the authority. Because, you see, in many situations, it was the people that were in charge of running the community that gave Paul his most difficult time. Drew, who felt that Christianity was an imposter religion. Read.
Perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren.
You hear that? That is even in the church. Among false brethren is those, especially Jews, who came in the church to see how they could make it difficult for Paul. Read.
In weariness and painfulness.
You hear weariness? A man gets tired sometimes that he wants to faint. Read on.
In watchings often.
In what?
Watchings.
You think you'd employ a watchman for that? No, he had to be looking over his shoulder. Read.
In hunger and thirst.
Wait. We get that? In being thirsty because of the gospel, because of Christ. In being hungry because of Christ, because of the gospel. Paul experienced that.
In fasting often.
Mm-hmm.
In cold and nakedness.
You all hear that? Brothers and sisters, keep in mind, Paul is not saying that when he was going through this, he found them fun memories. It is the end result. It is what they did to him and the gospel. And this is why he wrote in the book of Philippians, that all of these things turn out to be in the interest of the gospel. For one, in the book of Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14, that was read, he pointed out that it even gave the Christian more conviction and courage. People were hearing about Paul because of his imprisonment. His imprisonment was a blessing. Brother Darrell Hall would have told you the same thing. Are we all there? Brother Darrell Hall, That great brother forwards was converted in prison. Are we out there? He would have told you. In fact, he had expressed that. What it has done for him. Thank God for that jail cell. What is the point? That it is not the immediate appearance of things that determine what they really are, curse or blessing. It's their final outcome, their end or their net result. One last illustration, and the lesson will be yours. Not that the lesson is completed. The childlessness of Elkanah and Hannah appears and welcome to both of them, both Elkanah and Hannah. It appears tragic, sorrowful, negative. It appeared as if it was a problem. This is found, of course, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 11 through 17. Let us hear it.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me. And
Hannah is praying to God. She wanted a child from God. She's praying to God in sincerity. Read.
And not forget thine handmaid.
She begged God not to forget her, and by this she meant what her aspiration is for a child. Read.
But will give unto thine handmaid a man child.
In fact, she's even said it. you know, you think she would have left it up to God just asking for a child? She asked God for a boy. My mother would have asked for the same thing. Truly. That's right. A boy. Read, brother.
Then I will give him unto the Lord.
I will give him unto the Lord.
All the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head.
And may I, you know, there's so much in this lesson. Because, as I said, from appearance, from the surface, from the human perspective, from the human thinking, from human desire, from human limitation, this experience of these two people appears to be tragic, sorrowful, negative, and problem. But when we look at it, it turned out to be a profound blessing. Not because she ultimately had a child in the person of Samuel. Not because she had a child. Even without Samuel. Because her experience turned her to depend on God, to look to God, to trust in God, that of itself make her childlessness a blessing. That of itself make it a blessing. It brings how her trust, her faith, her dependence on the Almighty God. That is a blessing. If she had that child and pay so much attention to that child that she neglect God and the things of God, that child would have been a curse. In Rapima, a good job can be a curse. A good education that was meant to be a blessing can be a curse. A successful business can be a curse. If, step by step, little by little, our commitment to the Almighty God is curtailed, our commitment to the cause of Christ is limited, our commitment to the church is limited because of that educational pursuit or what the education brings, because of that job demand, because of that business demand and my time and my commitment, all of that which appears as blessing can be a curse. Depending on where they lead, where they direct, do they pull us away from Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church? Or do they pull us close to in almost all the experiences? There are some 5 cases from the Bible that is meant to be a part of this lesson that I cannot share today. But the fact you have gotten the meat of the lesson, that no experience, no incident, no episode in our lives by itself determine whether it is a blessing or whether it is a curse. It is going to be dependent on what it does to us, where it leads, where it directs, away from Jesus Christ and Christianity, or toward Jesus Christ and Christianity. That is the ultimate measuring rod of whether a thing is a curse or a blessing. And you know one of the great things? The Almighty God has placed within your hands and within my hand. He has placed within your power and within my power to determine what the experiences we have will be to us. You and I are going to determine what they will be to us. A good job. Brother Mitchell, I'm glad for that good job. You have well-paying and good this and that. It's a blessing. You might be wrong. It might not be a blessing. Brother Drew, Sister Mary, your business is doing good. We are glad for you. It's a blessing from God. It might not be a blessing. Are you more faithful to Christ as a result of that job or that business? Are you more committed to Christ? Or are you less committed because of that job or that business? Whether the thing be a blessing or a curse depends on where they live. If you're here today, if you're a child of God who has backslidden straight, if you're here today and if you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, there is no better time to do that than now. Now, all that we have been saying to keep in mind, it is the Almighty God who works all things. All things work together for good, not to everybody, but to them that love God. God can work it out. And God, however negative the thing in your life, God can work it out to be your good if you are on God's side. all things work together for good to everybody. No, to them that love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Come now. Commit your life to Jesus Christ if you are not a Christian. If you are a child of God who has grown unfaithful, weak, come and commit your life to Jesus Christ now as we stand and sing. One 159 is the song that we will sing to God's glory and honor, and it's a good time for you to respond to God's message.